Many times throughout the Word of God, the Lord in a very graphic and in a very detailed manner sets out the judgment and the wrath that he is going to inflict upon a people or upon nations because of their sin, their waywardness, and their rebellion to him. We see it right at the very commencement and right at the opening part of Scripture when God promises to destroy the earth in a flood because of the wickedness of man. When God said to his servant Noah, and he saw the wickedness that was great upon the earth, and that the imaginations of the heart of man was only evil continually, and he issued them that word of impending judgment and warning, he said, I'll destroy man, and I will send a flood of judgment upon the earth. And of course, that theme continues throughout all of Scripture. God's judgment because of man's rebellion. And it is this theme of judgment that we want to come to consider this evening as we find it here in the words of Ezekiel chapter 22. There is an awful catalogue of sins listed against the city of Jerusalem in the opening part of this chapter. It seems that everywhere you look and everywhere you turn, there is sin, there is wickedness, and the streets themselves are filled with awful acts of violence and murder. People are thronging around chunks of wood and stone and bowing themselves before idols of their own imagination. Immorality, rather than being frowned upon, has been socially accepted even within the family unit because it is so common. This place, of course, is the place Jerusalem. It's noted for us there in verse 19. That place when in former days God was pleased to bless and people gathered in the tabernacle to the temple to worship and to praise God. But now this city is so overrun with wickedness and vileness. The people have become so depraved, wretched in their own sin. The place which had been blessed by God, a nation, a people, whom God had been pleased to send prophets to and to minister unto, but now a people who had departed so much from the teachings and the truths of Scripture, a people that had broken every law and every commandment of God. Yet God was not going to be mocked. Because in verse 13, in that first verse that we read together, God says, I have smitten my hands at thy dishonest gain. The smiting of the hands of God expresses his great displeasure and his anger at sin and his readiness to execute judgment because of sin. God is not mocked. God will always judge sin. And as with all other judgments in Scripture, there is in Ezekiel chapter 22 a prefiguring of that awful day of judgment that will yet come for the ungodly, when in wrath God will pour out his judgment upon them. For those who meet God still in their sin, that judgment will be profound. It'll be harsh, more harsh than they could ever imagine. The Lord says in verse 19, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you in the midst of Jerusalem as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger, and in my fury, and I will leave you there. And it is particularly that little phrase at the end of verse 20, I will leave you there, forsaken in the furnace of God's wrath. I want to apply, by the help of God this evening, these words in the gospel. And tonight, if you're here without Christ, what we have to say this evening, we say in love. We say out of a heart of earnestness and love toward you, here is God's warning that if you forsake God, if you turn your back on God, you rebel against God, there is coming a day when God will forsake you and God will leave you. I want you to see, first of all, with me here in this verse, an appointed day. An appointed day. In verse 14, we read of the words, "Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee? I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it." In the days that I will deal with thee, I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. You see, there was coming a day of judgment. It was appointed. As we think of this appointed day, we notice that it's God's day. In the days that I shall deal. Someday, one day, for those who continue on in sin, God will deal with you no longer in mercy, but then in wrath. You see, this is man's day today. Just as it was man's day in the time when Ezekiel was ministering, man was having his day, man was breaking God's law, man was turning his back against God, man was going far into sin as he could go, laughing in the face of Almighty God, living as if God didn't exist, living as if God didn't matter, living as if God's word had no application or relevance to their life. It was man's day. And this is man's day. Today is man's day. Man today is living as if there is no God. Man today is living as if God does not matter or God has no impact upon their lives. Today man is living as if he will live forever, then die like a dog and it'll all be forgotten. This is man's day. But God will have his day. In that day, God's day. And sinner, if you stand before God on that day, his day, the day of his judgment, still in your sin, not having repented of your sin, you will be judged, you will be punished in the flames of a lost eternity for all eternity. The prophet Isaiah ministered and warned the people of his day and generation the very same thing. People who were privileged, yet a people who turned their back on God. And Isaiah issues the warning in Isaiah chapter 10 and the verse 3, "What will ye do in the day of visitation? And in the desolation that shall come from afar, to whom will you flee? Where will you leave your glory? What will you do in the day of visitation?" And the question there is asked that in such a sense that there is nothing you can do. And we'll see that in a moment. It's God's day. And sinner, you can have your day. You can turn your back on God. But one day that sin will catch up with you and you'll stand before God to give an account and God will judge you for that sin. The Apostle Paul brings out the same truth for us, that day of judgment. As he stood up there in Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17 and preached to the great and to the good, the judiciary of Athens, with all their learning, with all their understanding, and with all their great minds and their great intellect, Yet he challenges them that they worshipped a God they did not know. They turned their back on the true and living God. And he pointed to all the false idols around them. And he says that the times of this ignorance God winked at, there was God's mercy. But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Why? Why did the Apostle Paul plead with those great and mighty men of Athens? Why did he plead with them to repent of their sin and to turn from God? Because he says, God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. God's day. An appointed day. One day, sinner, you will stand before God. You will give an account. It's not only God's day here, but there's also God's dealings. Verse 14 says, in the day that I shall deal with you, with thee. In the days that I shall deal with thee. There's such intensity there in that little word deal. That word is used 7 times in the book of Ezekiel. And in each of those times it is used in reference to the severity and the harshness with how the people will be dealt with. In Ezekiel chapter 8 and the verse 18, the Lord says, therefore I will also deal in fury. God's dealings. Ezekiel chapter 23 and the verse 25. We see it in the relation to the unbearable treatment that the people would receive at the hands of their captors. They shall deal furiously with thee. All about intensity. And for the sinner who stands before God, that great white throne of judgment, the final judgment, still in sin, God will deal with you no longer in mercy, but then in wrath. And for those who have turned their back on God and refused to come to Christ in salvation, for those who have long lived their life without God, thinking it'll all be all right, believing that everything will work out in the end, there's a day of awakening and there's a day of reckoning. Do you know one of my great fears, I believe, for the Protestant people of our country tonight is that they believe that somehow, they can rebel against God and they can turn their back on God and they can despise the gospel of Christ and that somehow it'll all work out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Maybe today, tonight, in this harvest service, you've sat under the preaching of the gospel. You've heard the gospel. And yet you've never repented of your sin. You've never turned to Christ. And tonight you're still living in this fool's paradise thinking it'll all work out. Well, listen to the words of God through his servant Ezekiel. In the day that I shall deal with thee. God is going to deal with you. God always deals with his creation. He deals with his people in mercy. But at the day of judgment, he'll deal with the sinner in wrath. God is extending his mercy to you tonight. He's calling you. He's pleading with you to turn from sin. He's warning you tonight. But you reject that warning. You fail to heed that warning. He will deal with you in his righteous anger. An appointed day. But I want you to see not only an appointed day here, but I also want you to see here an awful devastation. There are so many verses in this chapter that speak of the awful devastation that's coming. Verse 14 says, "Can thine heart endure, or can thine hands be strong?" These two phrases alone bring before us just how awful God's judgment on sin was going to be. Because we are confronted here with the total inability and weakness and frailty of man to do anything to withstand or turn away the judgment of God. You see, sinner, you stand before God on the day of judgment. And you stand to be judged for your own sin. Your own sin. There is nothing. There is nothing that you will be able to do to turn that wrath of God away, to overcome that wrath. It'll be a time of unimaginable torment and anguish. You see, when God smites his hand to condemn the sinner in the day of his wrath, you will not be able to do anything against it. You'll not be able to plead, throw up your hands and to plead for God's mercy and leniency. There'll be no petitioning of God with the hands, his hands of compassion. Because your day of opportunity then will be past. You'll be condemned just like these people in Ezekiel 22. You'll hear those awful words from God, "Depart from me." What an awful thing it would be for someone sitting in this church tonight. Live on in your sin. Die in your sin. Go out to meet God in your sin. Stand before God on the day of judgment in your sin. And the last words you hear from God is that word, "Depart." Depart. Tonight, the Lord says, "Come." The invitation in the gospel is to come. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Come tonight. That's the word from God. But you see, in the day of judgment, the word will then be "depart." Depart. Look at that awful devastation prefigured in verse 18. "All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They're even the dross of silver." Verse 20, "As they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it and to melt it." All the various types of metals. It's a melting pot. All types of sinners. The self-righteous sinner. The one who has committed the most heinous of crimes. The one who has tried their best to live a moral, upright life, and the one who's led the most wicked and vile of lives. All sinners will be judged on that day. On that day of judgment, you'll be humbled before an almighty God. On that day, your knee will bow, not in faith and repentance, no. That day, your knee will bow in humble confession. And confess that he is Lord, but it'll be too late. And on that day, in the midst of his fury and his wrath, you'll cry on the rocks and the hills to cover you. Such will be the fierceness of his wrath. Look at the language in verse 19. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you." I will gather you. You see, there's no hiding place from God. Tonight, perhaps you're hiding behind something or someone. Tonight, perhaps you're hiding behind some empty false profession. Maybe even you're hiding behind the cloak of religiosity, the cloak of church attendance, the cloak of a moral upright life. And tonight, there are those who believe that it's well with your soul, but you know deep down in your heart it's not. You're trying to cover your sin tonight. Listen, on that day there'll be no hiding place for your sin. There'll be no hiding place from the all-seeing, all-knowing God. He will gather you. And you spent all your life running from God. Spent all your life rejecting Him, turning your back on Him. But sinner, on that day, there will be no hiding place. And you'll be found out. God says, I will gather you. Continues on into verse 20. I will gather you in mine anger and in my fury. God is a God of justice. God will execute justice upon all those who reject Him. Verse 20 says, I will blow upon you the breath from God that would have in time brought life, new life, saving life to your soul, if you had repented of your sin and turned to Christ. That voice which called you in salvation. That voice which pleaded with you to be saved. That call which came from the lips of the Savior, come. That same voice now, the day of His wrath, calls upon you in condemnation and wrath. Look at verse 21. I'll gather you, blow upon you in the day of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. It's not speaking about annihilation. Because the sinner will just be as alive in hell as they are on earth. You read Luke 16. It's speaking about humility. And the sinner will be brought low. And in that place of awful wrath and judgment, in that place called hell, that lost eternity, you'll be humbled. And you'll be honest. And you will realize that God is a God of His Word. But then it'll be too late. And you'll be brought low. You'll be reduced. Your proud, stout heart today, which would reject the gospel. Your proud heart tonight, which would tell you you don't need to be saved. You're all right the way you are. That proud heart will one day be humbled. There's an awful devastation in the day of God's wrath. There is an appointed day. There's an awful devastation, but I want you to see as well that there is an actual departure. Those words in verse 20, I will leave you there. Sinner, tonight I want you to realize that God will leave you in a lost eternity for all eternity. A lost eternity for all eternity. I will leave you there. All through your life, those times when the Lord has convicted you of sin, those times when you were almost near the kingdom, those times when the Lord spoke with you and challenged you, but you walked away, you'll remember every moment. And in the furnace of his judgment and his wrath, he will leave you because grace has passed. Mercy is gone. God condemns you to a lost eternity. He'll leave you. The rich man realized that. He pleaded for God to show a little compassion upon him in hell. He longed for Lazarus to come to cool his tongue. He longed for some respite in the wrath in the midst of the fury of God. But it wasn't coming, because God left him there, and between him and God there is a great gulf fixed. You might think to yourself tonight, this man is trying to scare me. No, I'm wanting to warn you tonight, because this is not my word. This is not the words of a church. This is God's word. Look what he says in verse 14. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. You see, when God comes with a warning of judgment upon sin, that he will punish sin, you can be sure he will punish sin. You see, sinner, on that day of judgment, your greatest wish, your greatest desire will be that God will change his mind. God will have a change of heart. That when you're being judged for your sin, that God would forget his word. That God would overturn his justice. That God would overlook your sin and let you into heaven. Nothing that defileth shall enter in there. And tonight, I trust like never before, you might realize that what God has said in his word, God will do. When God declares his judgment and his punishment upon sin, God will fulfill that word. One of the Puritans, William Greenhill, said, where he hath a mouth to speak, he hath a hand to do, and no power can hinder him. You see, God will execute judgment, righteous judgment. Yes, God is merciful, but God is also just. The people of Noah's day didn't expect that the earth would be destroyed in a flood. They scoffed and they laughed at Noah, building an ark, and there hasn't been a drop of rain in years. And tonight, whenever you speak about the judgment and the wrath of God, man will say to you, I don't believe that. You've been saying that for years. If only tonight we could open hell and get a glimpse into that awful place called hell. And hear the anguish and the agony of all those who are tonight in a lost eternity. They would say to you, believe what God has said because it's true. Tonight God has given you his word. Don't take my word for it. God has given you his word. Oh, that you would believe it tonight. Oh, that you would realize tonight that there is a day of judgment coming. That yes, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. In this meeting, God has been merciful to you. God has been good to you. We look at all the provision of God in the material sense. We thank God for it. But God has been good to you in that he has lengthened out your days until this time. But remember God's mercy. God's mercy is but for a time. My spirit, he says, shall not always strive. And if God is striving with you tonight, if his Holy Spirit is convicting you of your sin, oh, that you would be wise. That tonight you would turn from your evil, wicked ways and you turn to Christ. Because you would go out into a lost eternity without Christ. Heaven. Heaven you'll never see. What an awful thing it would be to be cradled in the gospel and brought up in the church and under the ministry that preaches faithfully the gospel of saving grace. What an awful thing it would be cradled in the gospel but eternally lost in hell. Bishop J.C. Ryle, godly bishop of Liverpool of a past generation, said that the saddest road to hell is that which runs under the pulpit, past the Bible, and through the midst of warnings and invitations. What a sad way it would be for you to travel tonight. Having heard your need to be saved. Having heard of the judgment that is coming for sin. And yet to go out and meet God still in your sin. I acknowledge this is a solemn message. And I will be honest and say it is not the message that I had planned to speak on. But I cannot close this message tonight because in this message there is also hope. Where is there hope? Because this day is still future. Yes, it's going to happen, but it's still future. There's still hope now. And tonight, where is the hope? In the midst of this impending wrath and judgment for sin that's coming, where is there hope? There's hope found alone in Jesus Christ tonight. The one who came into this world to save you from your sin. The one who on the cross of Calvary bore the pain and the agony and the suffering of sins upon the cross. The one who stood in your place. The one who died in your place. And tonight the one who would be your Savior. Tonight he's willing to save you. But thank God tonight he's more than willing, he's able to save your soul. Tonight there is one who stands between you and a holy God, the only one that can bring you to God. His name is Jesus. He died. He paid, made one sacrifice for sin that you might be brought to God and saved from his wrath. He endured the wrath of hell that you might never go there. God the Son on the cross was forsaken by God the Father that you might never be forsaken by the Father. He took your place. He paid your price. That you might be saved. And that you would be ready to meet God. Oh, that tonight you would realize before God your own sinfulness. And that tonight you'd repent of that sin. You'd turn away from that sin. And that tonight you would come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll save you. He'll receive you. He'll not cast you away. Maybe you've rejected him all your life. Turned away his invitation many times. Oh, tonight he issues that invitation to come. But be assured, be very sure, that if you reject it, you could reject it for one last time and go out into eternity still in your sin and meet God as your judge. You can live without the Lord Jesus Christ. Many do it. And yes, you can die without the Savior. And sadly, many do. But you will never, never be in heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, he says, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, tonight will you not flee from the wrath of God which is coming? Tonight in this harvest Monday evening service, will you not turn to Jesus Christ, receive him? Ask him into your heart. Realize tonight that there is a problem. That problem is sin. That sin that's separating you from a holy God. And that sin, if not repented of and covered in the blood of Christ in time, will in eternity damn your soul in a lost eternity. In that place where God says, I will leave you there. Forsaken in the furnace of God's wrath. Oh, that you would be wise tonight. Oh, that tonight you turn away from your sin and come to your only Savior. Let's bow in prayer.